Fourth and final hour of Robbie and Rex out here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rex showed Mark Howard in for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic. I got quick breaking news that I have to start with before we get to Teresa Walker. And Adam Vingan actually texted a few of us this morning and gave us the fantastic news that there is a new Vingan in the world. Actually, Adam called me yesterday. This is a little early. His wonderful wife, Bridget, actually the due date was Labor Day. But a little bit early, 11 days early, and I totally missed this. So Vingan's like, I'm going to tweet. I'm like, Adam, you want to come on the show and give me a little play-by-play of how the overnight went? And he's like, no, I'm good. So we don't get the play-by-play, but Arlo Jules Vingan has been born. I just realized it. Like, Vingan tweeted this out 2 hours ago, so I just quote-tweeted it. But Arlo Jules Vingan, 1:30 a.m. I do not have Vingan. You got to next time. If you're going to put out this stuff, you got to put out a little height. You got to put out a little weight for us. We want to know all these things. But in all seriousness, congrats to the Vingans. Fantastic. Adam and Bridget are going to be amazing parents. And Arlo is going to have a blast in Nashville. So congrats to the Vingans. And I know Teresa shares that viewpoint. Teresa Walker, how are you?
I am good. And you're absolutely right. You would think that Adam would know better. I mean, come on, how long has he been a sports writer? Of course we need the height, the weight, the length. I mean, we need to know what the stats are. It's just that simple.
Yeah. In fact, I'm gonna text him right now. Like, come on, let's get these numbers out here. So the Vingans are gonna be wrapped up. So Teresa, you know, the circle of life here. You have a son who just graduated college. So from UT. So a little bit different phase of life, but you've been all over the place, Teresa. You just got back, of course, from Tokyo, covering the Olympics for the Associated Press. And what was that? That was Olympics number what for you?
Number six, Joe. And
number six.
Yeah, it was definitely the most unique. I mean, think about it. In quarantine for 14 days, and that meant being limited to hotel to venue to hotel. And the food we're in, thank goodness for Uber Eats. And, when you're ordering Uber Eats in another country, we stuck to the basics, burgers, pizza, and thank goodness for Domino's. I hadn't had Domino's in a long time, ate a lot of it over there.
Nice. Well, now I would assume you've taken advantage of an incredible food city here in Nashville since being home. But also you've been, of course, out there with the Titans. So right now, as things stand, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown back in the field, offensive lineman back in the field. We're going to be out there today seeing what's going on. But what is your since arriving back in your home country take on the Titans at this point?
Well, I have to admit, now maybe it's because, so many backups have been playing for on the offense with, that the Titans taking a slow approach with some of these guys. But I've been impressed by the defense. I mean, let's be honest. It wouldn't take much for them to improve over last year in so many categories. But the way that, they've been able to carry, getting interceptions in practice, carrying that into the preseason game, it's preseason. Take it with a mountain of salt. But, these are the kind of things we just didn't see this defense doing last year, even in training camp. So if they can carry over any of this with the starters into the season, then this is gonna give them a chance to, be the team that they're trying to be, I think.
So you're buying the collective defensive improvement. I mean, I'm hesitant, but I do think that there's something to it.
Well, when you switch out so many starters, you've got to do something better, right? I mean, let's not forget. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney and Vic Beasley aren't on this roster, and while we haven't seen Bud Dupree, we have seen Rashad Weaver, who is one of the other new guys. Elijah Molden, another new guy, and I'm sorry, but when you've got a guy sliding under a guard to get a sack on a quarterback, that's the kind of thing that we hadn't seen in a bit. So, yes, I'm seeing some things that I like out of this defense. And, yes, I do want to see him do it with Harold Landry, who's now on the reserve COVID list, on one side, Bud Dupree on the other, see what Rashad Weaver's able to give them, Derek Roberson in the backup role, and then that revamped secondary guys in – David Long is starting to show some flashes and showing why they drafted him. So, I like what I'm seeing. I will say this, two other things that can't go unnoticed. You know, the fact that Shane Bowen has the defensive coordinator title this year. You know, Ryan Crowe's the guy coaching outside linebackers. Shane Bowen doesn't have a hand in both pots. He can focus on the defense as a whole and dive into spots when he needs to. But then also bringing in Jim Schwartz. You know, this is a guy that when he was here with the Titans, whether he was coaching the Detroit Lions, you know, coordinating the Eagles when they won a Super Bowl, his defenses have a track record of being able to get quarterbacks on the ground. And I want to see, I think we're seeing some of that. I can't wait for the season to start to see maybe how much improvement this team's got. But guys, they couldn't be any worse at rushing the quarterback, right?
That's true.
I mean, it took that game in Houston in the final week to get them off the bottom of the NFL. So, again, it shouldn't be that tough to get some improvement out of this defense.
We're speaking, of course, to Teresa Walker, the Hall of Fame sports writer for the Associated Press. And, Teresa, I won't belabor the woes of your Chicago Cubs. So let's talk about a better subject. And that's Jeffrey Simmons. And how important is it for him and the Titans for him to have a breakout season?
Oh, Mark, it's going to be huge. And thank you. We don't need to talk about the Cubs this year. Maybe not for another 5 years at this point. But Jeffrey Simmons, this is a guy that it's time for him to break out. You know, for all the expectations, you know, the first year, the fact that he got on the field was impressive and amazing. But, you know, and then they trade away Jarrell Casey a year ago, but the time is now for him, you know, to show what he can do, to go out there and just be the front of this defense. I mean, you know, yes, they brought in Bud Dupree and Danico Autry, but it is time for Jeffrey Simmons to step up and show why they drafted him. And you know, the knee is healthy. He's healthy. He knows this defense. You know, he's very confident young man, and he's a very skilled young man. So, yeah, it is time. I mean, we've seen, you know, it's probably been for this team since Albert Haynesworth, you know, was, you know, doing what he did in the 2 years he was a franchise player for this team. But, you know, go out and dominate on the inside and be that guy. You know, there's a lot of expectations that he could have an all-pro season this year. And honestly, that's what should be the goal for him, you know, to have that quality of a season and set the tone on defense. If he's doing that, it's going to make the jobs easier for Dupree, Weaver, Landry, and particularly that secondary that has been completely revamped. So I'm really curious to see what he can do. He can set the tone for this defense, and he can do it early.
How excited do you think Vrabel and even Todd Downing, and for that matter, John Robinson is, adding Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers to the receiving core? You've got Josh Reynolds coming in. This team could be interesting to watch, especially if they get into those multi-receiver sets.
Absolutely, Mark, because here's the difference. It's experience. You know, Rogers and Johnson, they've been in the league. I mean, Johnson, guys, he won a ring with Philadelphia and, you know, managing to stick around that roster. So, you know, these guys have experience in the league, and no offense to Cam Batson and, you know, Mason Kinsey and some of the guys that are, you know, showing out this preseason for the Titans. But, you know, when you get into the regular season, you just need some experience sometimes. Guys who've been there, done that. And, oh, yeah, they're good as well. I mean, let's face it, you know, Chester Rogers, you know, that punt return kind of announced his presence and the ability that he brings to not just play wide receiver but give you something, a lot of something. I think his career average on punt returns is like 9.2 yards. That's good. You do that for a season, you can almost lead the NFL in that category. So these two bring something, and experience in the NFL, you just can't be overstated. Particularly for a team that, you know, let's put it this way. If you want to go to where you want this team wants to go, which is L.A. in the Super Bowl, February 13th, well, having some guys that have experience in some support roles can really be a key for you in some games that you absolutely need to win.
So, Teresa, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about Floyd Reese. I think it's amazing in this press corps, and I think in particular, you know, people who, I know you cover everything, you know, like I do, but you obviously write a lot about Titans, have for a long time. We've got you, and we've got John Glennon and Paul Kaharsky and Jim Wyatt and Dave Beauclair. We've got this core of veterans who have, you know, and of course Mark too, and others in town who have seen everything. Your, you know, prevailing memory, if there's one story or just, you know, your overall takeaway on Floyd Reese and his impact here in Nashville.
Well, Jeff Fisher got so much of the attention because, you know, he was the guy talking to us every day. But, you know, Floyd's the guy who, you know, he's the one who put together the roster. And I come back to this. You know, they were lame ducks in Memphis in 97, and some people today don't even know that they practiced in Nashville, traveled to Memphis. Then they play at Vanderbilt in 98, and the thing that made everything come together in 99, new nickname, new uniforms, new stadium, but none of that would have mattered if without the roster that Floyd put together. You know, Steve McNair, Eddie George, and that year drafting Javon Kearse. Guys, and Mark remembers this well, people were saying, well, he's a tweener. I don't know if he's an end, if he's a linebacker. I don't think he's, you know, can do that. And then he goes out and sets the NFL rookie record for sacks, a record that still stands to this day. And, that was the key piece that locked everything into place and, you know, resulted in the one and only Super Bowl for this franchise. So, his face may not be as known as Jeff Fisher, Steve McNair, Eddie George and those guys, but he was every bit, maybe even more, responsible for helping cement this franchise in this city because, you know, there were a lot of people on the fence about this franchise. That run to the Super Bowl is what helped. That's why we're about to have the 25th season for this franchise in this state.
And quickly, I texted Vingan. I've got the stats. I've tweeted them. 6 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 3/4 inches, a nice solid lad, a little bit early, ready to rock, and should be a good time. So there we go. We got all the stats out there that we need, Teresa.
That is good. You just have to do that, right?
Yeah, he'll learn. He'll learn.
He will.
Well, Teresa, thank you so much for being on the show, and I will see you out in the practice field in, I guess, about an hour, right?
Well, the assistant offensive coach has talked to us in about 12 minutes, so I'll be there for that. So if you need something, text me, and I'll ask.
Yeah, just transcribe it all for me, will you?
We'll do.
All right, Teresa Walker, Associated Press, has been our guest, and we come back on Robbie and Rexel. We will react to some of what she said and keep the Titans conversation going on Robbie and Rexel at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hang out with us tomorrow for the game birthday party as we celebrate our 10-year anniversary. Our presents are going to the listeners. We will have hourly ticket giveaways starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow, including your chance to win tickets for Predators opening night, the Rolling Stones October 9th, and more. And you can join us tomorrow at Neighbors in Germantown from 10 to 6, where you can sign up to win prizes on Preds Pride Day. So come check it out. We're going to have a huge bash tomorrow to celebrate the 10th anniversary, the 10th birthday, if you will. We've got a cool logo even right now on the 10-year thing, so we're gonna have a lot going on with this tomorrow. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex, at ESPN 105 The Game. Joe Rexroad, Mark Howard, Michelle Knezovic. Tough week for the Rolling Stones.
Charlie Watts.
Rest in peace, Charlie Watts.
Yeah.
80 years old. Yeah, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. I mean, first of all, like Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. See, this is where Twitter has, you know, Twitter can be cool. They tweeted out some really cool pictures of Charlie. It's too bad. I mean, he's the whole time through with that crew, with that group. I mean, he was the consistent, you know.
The stories he could tell.
The foundation. Yeah. Oh, no doubt. So, yeah, tough one there for sure for the Stones. Mark, on the Titans. So, assistants about to start talking. Players on the field. If there's one thing that you want to see, and it can be, you know, it can be tonight or today during or this week, or it can be Saturday night for this team to push things forward, what would it be?
Well, I'd want to know how they're going to deploy the offensive line Saturday. This is sort of, they're using this as a laboratory for Dylan Radin. So, you know, there's no doubt about it. They're a second round pick. And obviously there's got to be some concern about their reserves, especially on the interior, other than Aaron Brewer.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, Aaron Brewer is – I'm trying to think of – you know, Dane Cruikshank has barely been seen. And again, I mean, Dane Cruikshank at this point, you know, I just think if you're the Titans, it's like, look –
written him off.
Yeah, if the guy can't stay healthy, it's just tough. That's how a lot of things go in this league. It comes down to availability. But Aaron Brewer, I haven't seen him once. And obviously, you know, he's on the roster. I'm thinking the timeline probably matches up with try to get him, you know, soon before the season and get him in there, because I think that he would definitely be the choice as backup center. As you said earlier in the show, Mark, he's a depth guy, certainly at guard, which is what Dylan Radins is right now. I mean, Dylan Radins is – he's been working more than anything in camp at right guard. He has worked a lot in the games, and that's a good way to put it, in the laboratory at right tackle. But Brewer is an important player to get back. I mean, Daniel Munier has been the center, and it hasn't gone well. The snapping issues – have kind of been cleaned up here recently, but you know, he hasn't played well. They need something better there. You know, one thing we haven't mentioned about Tuesday's practice, and I'll be interested today to see if he is active and has another period. But Sam Ficken did not respond well to apparently getting the job. Sam Ficken pushed two to the right, and there I think it was 42 and 51, and he pushed a short one that just snuck in, and I'm sitting there like, man, like, you have this competition and the intense pressure, you know, it's McCann and Ficken, and then you even just have a game, you know, a game, the game pressure of Saturday, and he responded beautifully, crushed the 58 yarder, right? And now you're in practice and it's like, oh, McCann's been waived, this is your job. And it didn't go well. So, and now one of those misses, Taylor Lewan, right before the miss, you know, screamed. I think he just screamed, "Ficken!" or something, you know, and he missed it. But hey, that was good for Lewan. Like, try to make him make him uncomfortable. I don't know if that was a factor or not, but I just know that
Noonan.
Yeah, exactly, Noonan. I just know that the next time that he has some sort of evaluation, and there's pressure with the team all gathered around. There's pressure, you know, all the media people are standing on the sideline writing down everything you do. He's got to perform better than that. Because if he goes back into, they're not sure, then again, I mean, do you feel good about the Titans going with Nashville hot Ficken?
I'm telling you right now, yeah, spicy Ficken. He's going to get another week and a half, in terms of his evaluation. And then you wonder if the bat signal goes out.
But I also wonder, you know, if you're Steven Gostkowski, do you want, again, to be just, you know, brought in right at the last second with no camp, with no work? You know, because obviously, well, not obviously, but apparently, last year it took him a little bit of time to get feeling all comfortable. Yeah. He's taking the sock off, putting the sock back on, whatever. Eventually, kind of found a consistency last year. But if you're him, wouldn't you prefer to have some time? And again, maybe he just prefers to not play ever again. I don't know. But he hasn't officially retired. So until he says, "I'm retired," I'm assuming he's open to the idea of playing. I'm just wondering if he would rather it be a little different than last year when he just came in late and here you go, we're going to Denver. You know, you and Jadeveon Clowney, let's see what you guys can do. I don't know. As time moves on, I just figured, like, if there was a call to him, it would be a little earlier this time around, or if there was an agreement reached. I feel like the Titans would much rather have a young guy who they can, you know, try to invest in for the long term. And I'm still not convinced that Tucker McCann isn't at some point that guy. Tucker McCann was really coming on here before he got hurt. But Ficken could make it real tough on them if he cools off here and gets inconsistent, which is what I saw in a brief period, admittedly, but still, that's what it is in this league.
Well,
do you do the same thing every single time? Are you consistent?
Well, and I think that if they go back to Gostkowski, it's going to have to happen right after the Bears game. You know, they're going to make their final cuts anyway. We know how they do it, but that's the last thing they wanted to see.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, in fact, that's a good...
Just when you thought it was safe to call him your kicker.
Here comes frickin' kicking. When is the roster cut down? I think, is that Tuesday?
It's usually... Well, traditionally, it's been right after the last preseason game.
Right.
Sunday was always a big day.
But this is weird, you know, the whole situation now. Yeah, it is Tuesday. So... So it's basically the same thing. So it's interesting. You're going to have this roster cut down, and then you're going to have, you know, a longer period of just practice, of course, you know, before the openings. You're going to have almost 2 weeks of practice with the 53-man, you know, before you play. But, yeah, it's I agree. It's I think today, I don't know if the Titans – well, no, tomorrow's a pregame, day before the game. So today and Saturday basically are like – those are the – like Fickin's got to be really good to me. Like if he falters here in – today's practice, if they put him out there to have a kicking period, and then Saturday, whenever he gets opportunities, if I'm the Titans, I'd almost, you know, kneel on 3rd and 3 from the 30 a couple times if I have to, because I want to see every chance I can see of him in our home stadium, if I'm the Titans, you know, kicking and doing it under the lights with some pressure and see if he can handle it, because, man, If it goes bad in these next 2 days, then I think you really do have to look around.
Jeff Fisher, you know, early on in the early 2000s, his default call was to Gary Anderson, the almost Hall of Famer.
Right, sure.
Had like a really short, you know, if he was in baseball or golf, he'd have a really short swing. He had a really short, quick stroke.
Compact.
Right, yes, very compact.
Yeah.
But that was a guy that they called from the wilds of Canada. He had built a fishing lodge, and he was up there, you know, fly fishing. And they called him to come down here, and he kicked for him. He wasn't big on practices. I think 1 year the deal was he didn't have to go to practice. So I don't know what the deal would be with Gostkowski.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's a lot easier with him. It's like, hey, just like don't come up, you know, like wait until like after 9 a.m. so the traffic's not too bad. You come up 65 from Franklin, you know. I mean, it's very easy. But, yeah, I would think it would – I think you're probably right. Like if it's going to happen, then it's got to be next week. It's not going to be like game week or something like that. So Nashville Hot Fickin, who, again, I'm giving credit to Dennis from the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. You're on the clock. This is some important stuff for him as well, along with several other players. And we'll get into some of the other guys who really have a lot riding on the next few days. Coming up next on Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds continue their homestand at First Horizon Park against Gwinnett, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Pre-game show with Jeff Hem starts at 6:50 p.m., first pitch at 7:05. Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by 321 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game in the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We're talking Titans. We're talking players with a lot going on and a lot on the line this week. A lot of the key guys that fans really care about, they don't have much on the line. They're probably going to be watching from the sideline, cheering people on and taking it easy Saturday night. But we've mentioned a few people. We've just talked about Sam Fickin, certainly. I think this is really important. I think he's got that job right there. The job is right there in front of him. Can he grab it? Can he secure it? Dylan Radun's continuing to be a very important story, not just for now and for him, but look, a second-round pick. I mean, if your second-round pick in a go-for-it year results in a depth guy at guard, that's not great. Doesn't mean he couldn't become a really good player at some point, but it's a go-for-it year.
I think they envision that this might be a possibility. I don't know if anybody's panicking on the Titans sideline. I don't think this is Isaiah Wilson 2.0 either.
No, it's not that.
But it's going to take some time for him. This won't. I don't know if this is going to be a redshirt year, but this is certainly going to be a developmental year. Maybe less dependency, or rather less reliance on playing, and a little more in trying to develop him, I guess, during practice.
And again, I mean that's not out of the ordinary for an offensive lineman in this league. I mean, some come right in and are ready to rock, but. Look, Taylor Lewan said recently that he thinks that, like, Radun's is having a better camp than he had. I don't know. You tell me. I wasn't here when Lewan was a rookie. Was it all like, oh, he's awful?
No.
Okay.
I think Lewan is being kind.
Yeah.
And trying to take the pressure, you know, off the kid, and, you know, which is, you know, very gallant, you know, for him. But that just simply wasn't true.
Yeah, I mean,
Luan, we could all see from day one, was a starter. He was a little bit more of a loose cannon.
Right.
Was coming off a college career where he had some regrettable incidents that might be a bigger deal today than they would be then. But whatever the case, with a couple of exceptions, but you know, for the most part, Luan has come in and, you know, he's a fun guy. He's a, you know, he likes to have a good time, but he's been able to separate, you know, what you do on the field and what you do off the field. And he's ratcheted down things a little bit on the field, not taking some of those stupid penalties, you know, that he did a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, look, you could tell. I mean, again, I saw a lot of Taylor Lewan in college, and you could tell he's probably an NFL left tackle every time he played. So, and he came in here having blocked, you know, some really top level pass rushers in the Big Ten, and, you know, in bowl games or whatever. So you kind of had an idea with him. I mean, there's so many guys from smaller colleges or lower levels or whatever who make it in the NFL, Hall of Famers. I reject this all. If you can't. Yeah, there's too many examples of that working out to me to be biased against those guys. But it is when you haven't played a lot of football recently because of COVID, but also you are playing at a lower level. It is probably a more dramatic step up to this level, right? So I agree with you that, like, for the picture of Radunz, he could still have a very good career, and this is not some, like, oh my gosh, it's, you know, he's not a pro. Again, I thought he was pretty good in Atlanta. But again, I will say, though, that the second-round pick right now for this team where it is, it's an easy one to second-guess if he's just a reserve at guard this year.
I'm not as bothered by that. I think they knew what they were getting into when they drafted him. They were big-picturing it. They were envisioning him, you know, 5, 6, 7 years down the road as a guy they can eventually plug in and hopefully, you know, have him be as much of a fixture on the right side as Luan has been on the left side.
So you are good with big picturing that pick right now, second round pick?
Joe, I don't know what people were expecting when he played, you know, one double A game last year. I think people know coming in there is an adjustment period. I'm not saying that, you know, that they always use the line, it's like he's trying to jump on a runaway train, but the game is so much faster. You've got to be so much more skilled. You've got to understand that you're not going to be able to dominate with just sheer athleticism and strength out there. You've got to learn technique because, you know, I'm sure he dominated just about everybody that he played across from in college. That is no longer the case in the NFL.
Okay, that's fine. You're talking about him specifically. Take him out of the equation. Dylan out of the equation. Going into that pick, it's a second-round pick. You know how close you are. At that point, you could have looked at, you know, you could have looked at receiver, for example, which, you know, seems fine right now. But still, I mean, you could have gone after, like, an Elijah Moore, who apparently is looking just fantastic as a slot guy in New York. But you could have gone different ways. So, if you're the Titans looking at that pick, are you saying, you know what, long term this kid's going to be fine, it may not give us much this year, or are you thinking, okay, I think he's good enough to start at right tackle for us this year, that's a position that we obviously have a hole, let's do it, he's ready?
It's a 17-game schedule. Maybe to start the season, he's a spectator. That doesn't mean it's got to be the whole season. I could see them maybe, you know, putting him in there after the sixth or seventh game. I mean, who knows? So I think at some point this year, if he stays healthy, he's going to end up starting a few games, and then we'll see. But it's going to be a little bit of sink or swim like we saw before. So I don't think realistically they thought he was going to be a 17-game starter.
Yeah. Well, and I figured, again, without seeing him at all, I was like, okay, So Kendall Lamb has been signed. He's been a depth guy, but he's a guy that you can start him at right tackle and feel okay with it. I figured, okay, best case is probably that Radunz pushes and is close, and it's those two, and Lamb probably starts the season, but maybe at some point a few games in, you get the rookies ready, right?
Yeah.
I think we're pretty far from that right now.
Well, by virtue of the fact that they were intent pretty early on getting a plan B, it's pretty obvious that they felt like this situation could present itself, especially early in the season. So, the way I look at it, at least now, if he doesn't start the season as a starter, I'm not going to be that alarmed. But I think at some point during the season, you might see them make a change.
If this team has a very good season, and frankly, it'll be a massive disappointment if it's not a very good regular season, if it's not a team that wins AFC South or is right there, at least gets in the playoffs, and maybe the Colts and Titans are both really good. I think it's a disappointment if it doesn't win the AFC South. But if it gets in the playoffs and, comes up a little bit short against whoever, and Radunz is a depth guard this year, then again, that second-round pick, after the first-round pick that went to Isaiah Wilson, making it three high picks at right tackle. That's all. Look, I'm just saying that's you wrap that up in one package. That's a big package of second guessing, for John Robinson. So Radunz right now, you're right. He has to look at it like, look, you're just trying to get better every day. You're trying to make it so you can contribute in some way. I do think Saturday night is a big one for him after a step forward in the first game. Some embarrassing moments in the second game. He did have a good Pro Football Focus grade for anyone who cares about that kind of thing. But I think it's important, and I think it's important that he matters to this team this year. Tim on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim from Lewisburg here. Is Chester Rogers going to make the team? I'm going to save that for the other side because that's that position group. I think there's some fascinating stuff happening right now with the Titans. We're going to get into that next in the final segment here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Last segment. good jam. Really, we could do Hall & Oates for every one of those if we wanted to. They got enough jams. Got to get in the deep cuts though. Even though Mark Howard does not think much of the lyrics to "Kiss" on my list.
I got to admit. Yeah, you like the song because it's just, a catchy tune.
What are your top three Hall & Oates songs?
Oh, man.
I'll give you mine. Private Eyes for sure. Say It Isn't So is a great Hall & Oates jam. And I think I'm going to go Out of Touch. It's a little bit later. That's like right at the end,
See, like I like mid-80s. Out of Touch.
There's some good remixes of Out of Touch, But it's tough.
Private Eyes would be my number one.
That's just a great song. It's just a great song. All right.
Out of Philadelphia.
That's
R&B
right.
guys.
That's right. And G.E. Smith on the guitar.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, G.E. Smith. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Used to be on Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking Titans, and we had Tim on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ask a question. Tim from Lewisburg about Chester Rogers. Is he going to make the team? Yes. I absolutely think he'll make the team. I think he'll make the team over Cam Batson. I think Chester Rogers will be this team's punt returner. And potentially, kind of like Batson, he would fit into the quote-unquote slot receiver pigeonhole if you want someone there. Now, I think you're going to see, A.J. Brown in the slot a lot this year. I don't think that, the Titans have moved on from Adam Humphries, and I think they've moved on from we need someone who is a slot receiver in the slot. I think they're going to move people around and be probably pretty effective. But Chester Rogers makes the team. Josh Reynolds also I would have on the team, but Josh Reynolds, another setback. That's another guy I'm looking for today out there on the practice field. At this point, Chester Rogers and Marcus Johnson have a better chance of contributing at least early to the offense in the regular season, in my opinion, than Josh Reynolds does. And I know the Titans went out and got Josh Reynolds.
And he arrived here amid much fanfare.
Yeah, I mean, he came in. He was the two. I mean, he was wide receiver two coming in here. A.J. Brown, Josh Reynolds. And Josh Reynolds, you know, has been the third receiver in L.A. Can he come in here and be a wide receiver two? It's a prove-it deal, 1 year, $175 million. Guy with good speed, made plays, he's produced. And he may yet, but at this point, you know, Marcus Johnson, to me, is the third receiver. It's in my opinion. Now, there are some other people in Titans press corps who disagree with me and say it's Chester Rogers. I think Marcus Johnson is the guy most likely to benefit early in the season from having those other two guys, number 11 and number 2, on the field. He's going to get some great matchups. Marcus Johnson, I think, is ready to help this team. So there's Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Josh Reynolds. Okay, so there's five. And in some years, that's what a team's receiver room is, five.
Yeah.
Well, this team will have, I think, six for sure, and I picked seven. But the question is, the six and seven, I had one, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. I got him next at six. He's had a good camp. He's made plays. He looks good out there. He is a special teams core player. But Des Fitzpatrick is just, I mean, that's the guy today, after having a nice day Tuesday on the practice field, caught a bomb from Tannehill on Christian Fulton, made some other plays, and I think we'll probably get an extensive look Saturday night. To me, he's got a chance to potentially uproot Westbrook-Ikhina if they're only going to keep six. And he was a fourth-round pick. You can't lose sight of that. Now, who's better? It's still been Westbrook-Ikhina by a pretty significant margin. And those other guys we mentioned, too. Except Josh Reynolds. He didn't play that much. But Josh Reynolds, I think he's on the team.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting. I think that's the battle. That's how I look at the battle. I look at it like that. And, again, it could be just six and seven. And, by the way, I'm sorry. I'm discounting Mason Kinsey. Some people aren't. I am. He's been very good. I'm impressed.
He's
a great story.
Wrong year, though.
And look, Cam Batson. Cam Batson has been a heck of a pro here. And you could make the case Cam Batson could be that slot guy, makes plays, special teams. You know, he could be your punt return. I just think Chester Rogers has just knocked him out of a job. But there's two guys who I don't even – that's 8 and 9. The question is, are they going to keep seven? And by the way, 10 is Racy McMath, who was the talk of camp when it started. So it really is amazing.
Are you going to start him at wide receiver?
Yeah. I mean, A.J. Brown's dropping Julio Jones references about Racy McMath. Racy McMath, I have no doubt. You know, here's what I think we'll see with Racy McMath. Nothing Saturday. Yes. Nothing.
No, they'll quietly cut him and then bring him back and continue – you know, his track on the team next year as a special teamer.
Because Racy McMath in a couple years, I could see being a factor in the NFL, that receiver. I really could. I mean, there just aren't that many people that big and that fast. And he has some skill. I mean, he can play. It's just, you know, he has faded. And again, faded by comparison, too, to some pros who know how to play the position at a high level on this team. It's just amazing to see a Titans team with that many guys at that position who are competent. It's quite something. What else are you looking forward to here, Mark? I know you're gonna watch it. You're gonna DVR this game, rewind series, and just totally breathe in this last bit of Titans football before the regular season.
Well, I don't think any of us are totally sure, you know, what's going to happen at inside linebacker. Will David Long take more snaps from Rashawn Evans, you know, who was on his way out after this season? Yet another draft pick, high draft pick, that they don't pick up the fifth-year option on. What's going to happen there? What's going to happen in the secondary? Who do they feel is ready to play? It looks like they've made a decision on who the number three safety is, and it looks like Dane Cruikshank is on the outside looking in.
Yeah, safety depth, that's another big thing, too, for sure. Yeah, I mean, Matias Farley, I think, is the third safety, and he's back, which is big for him. But they got all these new guys in, you know, Bradley McDougald and Clayton Gathers and Jamal Carby. They got all these guys, basically, I think, looking for that spot that I think Cruikshank and Breeze have vacated, unless they can make a comeback. Real quick, you know, Chris and Nashville on the text line, man-eater. That's all. That's a good text, and, yep. and that's a good one. Tom in Nashville, Rich Girl, Wait For Me. I mean, there's so many. We could go on and on the Hall and
Oates. Yeah, you know what? I forgot about Rich Girl. That would be my number one.
Now, that's old. Like, that's 70s Hall
and
Oates.
I know, but I still
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's good. No, Rich Girl, and there's another great one from back then that's now eluding me. Sarah Smile. A little Sarah Smile, right? Michelle, do you know these songs as I say the
titles? They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, they're not. I remember when
they're a great band.
When they got inducted, you know, we went through their whole song list, and it's like a lot of people went, wow, we didn't realize they were that prolific.
Right. It's like all these songs you hear on the radio, if you're not a huge Hall & Oates fan like me. But it's like, oh, that's them. Okay, right.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, you said Rich Girl, and I was like, na na na. And I was like singing it in my head. I was like, okay, I didn't realize they sung that
but
song.
But then every now and then, you know, like, I won't go for that. Sounds like, yeah, that sounds like a lot of our other songs. But let's sneak that one in there.
not an I can't go for that guy, huh?
It's okay. But again, a very similar sound to their other songs.
Yeah. Well, they got a sound. They got a sound. But, yeah, they are much better. Look, there's a lot of crap in the 80s, which I still love, too, okay? Like, some people rip on 80s music. I love the one-hit wonders, Dexy's Midnight Runners, yes. and Kajak. Okay, all that stuff. But Hall & Oates is a legit bass, drums, guitar, like you said, rooted in soul band that just they found a formula for making pop hits and got rich off it. But
so you're a big
legit.
Time and Tide fan?
What is
Great
it?
Great song. Time and Tide by Basha.
I don't know that
That's
one.
An 80s song.
I'd have to. I don't know it by title.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I'm sure I've heard it, but I don't know that by title. You got on your. We don't have time. I don't. Oh, man. You're going to have to play it for me after the show ends. All right.
Spandau Ballet.
Oh, you better know. You better believe it. True. True. Elijah, look, he's in there. You know that song. Yeah, you've slow danced that song at the middle school dance. All right, we got to get out of here. Darren Donick and Chase is next. Thanks for hanging out. Robbie Rex, ESPN 102.5, The Game.